This week, a civil rights lawsuit from the George W. Bush era takes on new life. The Supreme Court hears oral arguments today in the case of Ziegler versus Abbasi. A group of government officials, including former Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller, are urging the Supreme Court to shut down a lawsuit filed by human rights lawyers back in 2002. These lawyers represent a class of Muslim, South Asian, and Arab citizens that were allegedly swept up by the FBI's 9/11 investigations. The group was detained for months in restrictive conditions on the basis of their race and ethnicity until cleared of any connection to terrorism. Stephen Vladeck is professor of law at the University of Texas School of Law. Welcome to The Takeaway, Stephen.
Thanks for having me, John.
Now, Professor, this case seems to be an exact parallel of the Japanese internment case. I mean, it's not as long and it's not as, widespread, but it seems like the same arguments.
You know, I think it very much depends on whose side you find more compelling. Certainly, that's what the plaintiffs are arguing. You know, their basic position is the reason why they were singled out after 9/11 had nothing to do with potential connections to terrorism and everything to do with their religious beliefs or their national origin, that they were Muslims or they came from Arabic-speaking countries. The government's position is that, to the contrary, all of these individuals were subject to arrest for being out of immigration status, and that in that regard, it is completely unlike the World War II era Japanese internment camps. I think a big question for the Supreme Court is which view of the facts do the justices find more plausible?
And in the case of the facts, the Japanese citizens were citizens. There was nothing outstanding. Maybe there was a parking ticket or two involved in some of the individuals who were swept up in that detention. But in this particular case, it is a fact that the government admits using the immigration status of these individuals as a motivation for bringing them in, regardless of whether they're actually connected to any specific terrorist investigation.
Right. I mean, the government's immediate response to the 9/11 attacks was basically to arrest every single non-citizen who they had any good argument for arresting on immigration charges, whether or not they could tie those specific immigrants to terrorism. And this case does not arise from the arrests. The plaintiffs are actually not challenging the arrest. The question is whether at some point after they were arrested, the government violated their constitutional rights by deliberately subjecting them to especially harsh and punitive conditions of confinement, knowing, at least in the case of these plaintiffs, that they had been cleared of a connection to terrorism, that they were not a threat, and subjecting them to those harsh conditions anyway. You know, the Japanese internment camps actually involved both citizens and non-citizens. What made them especially pernicious was that they were completely suspicionless. The government had no individualized review. Here, in contrast, there was individualized review, but that review told the government in many cases that there was nothing to worry about from some of these detainees.
Is it the case, though, to take the other side, that we live in an era now post-Orlando, post-San Bernardino, that there is a lever that can be pulled in the FBI and in the Justice Department that basically says everyone on a questionable visa who's a Muslim on them brought in tomorrow?
I think there's no question that that's the government's position. And listen, there's, you know, more than nothing there. The key in this case, though, is again to remember that the facts as this case reaches the Supreme Court provide that by the time the government made the relevant decisions in these plaintiffs' cases, the government knew that they were not suspicious. So, you know, John, we can all agree, I suspect, that in the immediate aftermath of an attack, the government's entitled to some latitude in rounding up, you know, what Casablanca might have called the usual suspects. The problem is that once they know better, and once the government knows that the folks they picked up, or at least some of them, really are not in the right place at the right time, really have no connection to terrorism, can they continue to subject them to such harsh and punitive detention simply because of where they come from or what religious faith they preach? You know, that's the way the plaintiffs are portraying this case. And I think if the Supreme Court says yes, that's a pretty scary precedent, you know, especially with the Trump inauguration just a couple of days away.
Stephen Vladeck is professor of law at the University of Texas School of Law. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.